Blog Talk Radio.
My eyes have seen
Hi all, and welcome to Cosmic Voice again on this Thursday update with Drake. Hope you and some of you enjoyed the first song. It was the Battle Hymn of the Republic, Victoria. Learn your history. And the second one was Led Zeppelin and Rock and Roll. And with that, I'm going to introduce the man himself and Drake.
Hello. I hope everybody's ready to rock and roll, because I got some stuff I want to cover, and it goes back to some things that I've covered before to an extent. I will give you some inside info that you don't know what's going on yet. I want everybody to think about something, first of all, to start with, and it stinks. It was one of the biggest, and yeah, I went to a political rally when I was living in Florida. Dude had to use a shop truck to bring the friggin' bill out. Now, I want you to think about this. Weighed 50-some pounds, was about 3.5 foot tall. I mean, this shop truck was loaded. You know what that was? ACA, better known as Obamacare. The thing that's got several million people wondering what they're supposed to do now that their health insurance has been canceled. Oh, then we got this secondary part. Oh, I'm sorry. We'll see what we can do about rectifying that. We'll change things to a point where everybody can keep it until we decide to take it away again and charge you 3 times what you was paying before. Woo, yeah, that's a good deal, all right. Sound like it sounds to me like them $20,000 toilet seats that they purchase in certain areas for a certain specific, it's got to meet these requirements and this and that. And yeah, where do you think that money goes? Do you really believe they don't go down to the local Ace Hardware and get them a toilet seat and stick it on there? Add a few extra little cavites, bolts, nuts, and some flat washers and make it comply with regulations? All you got to do is put a hook on the front of it up underneath the lid, and you got something that'll stay in place. Ooh, I hear a lot of static.
Yeah.
Wonder if the fan club is busy.
I can hear it as well.
That's probably some hacker out there chewing on the wires again. I've been posting some stuff rather rapidly. One of those is Glass-Steagall. Now, I understand a lot of people don't understand what that is. Well, I titled it Separation of Church and State, and there's a problem with all this. Glass-Steagall separates the investment bankers, and I hope somebody watched that friggin' video. If you didn't, it's posted. You need to watch it. It's called Inside Job, and it explains all of everything, names, tells who did what or didn't, according to what they were told to do, the whole nine yards. It does not pull punches. And quite honestly, Glass-Steagall ain't going to go nowhere. Now, LaRouche, and everybody can dismiss him or whatever they want to do with him, I don't dismiss him. He's got the right idea. Problem. What's the problem? Well, the problem is real simple. We have a broken government. By broken, I mean that it is fully and wholly owned subsidiary of corporate oligarchs who tell people what to do. Now, if you ain't noticed this, look at your tax bill. They raise the taxes arbitrarily just because they want more money. Not because the expenses went up, but just because they want more money. Where does the extra money go? Well, they got special accounts that got hidden away and all kind of fun and games, don't they? Yeah, well, that's been covered. Basically, the government is in dire straits. Well, they got plenty of cash. They got a whole load of things that they think are cool to do, specifically to us. Now, who is us? All right. People have been wanting this explanation, and you guys need to know it. If you don't have in assets $500 million or more, you don't even count. Now, I want that to sink in. I'd like everybody to really, you know, dwell on that for a minute. You have $500 million. I mean, those are numbers that most people can't imagine. That's a half a billion dollars. multi-billionaires, people that got supposedly got or say they have, or it shows in Forbes or some other fun and games list. The richest of the rich, the one percenters, well, we be the 98% on the other end, because there's only about 2%. It's not exactly one. It's more like two. 98%, okay? Has anybody noticed that things are drying up and moving overseas? That's called regulating people back into the Stone Age. The ideology is to financially reduce the United States to a third world entity, which means dirt floors, living off the land if you can, things like that. I mean, you know, fear porn out the wazoo. I mean, you can read it all over the place. Supposedly, China has an invasion plan. They've already turned that down, by the way, in case people don't pay attention to what I try to tell you. It was offered to Russia. Russia said, well, are you crazy? I ain't even talking to you, and hung the phone up. Second call went to China. Would you please invade? Now, this is the cabal, the bad guys, the ones that want to play Agenda 21 with your butt. Target practice, better known as wiping your ass out. And I've told people before, I'm going to quit pulling punches. I ain't going to use real nasty words, but you're going to hear things that do use certain descriptive terms. Like shit, everybody knows what that is. There's no question. You know what a stinky pile is, whether the dog does it or one of the kids or dad goes to the bathroom, everybody goes to the other end of the house. Doesn't matter. What matters is you understand the term. And I'm going to put some things into plain perspective so that you get it. Glass-Steagall is separation of church and state. That takes the people who are gamblers. These are your investment bankers out of the picture. They can no longer grab your retirement funds or whatever and do as they please with it. This also gets their fingers out of Social Security. Yeah, there's a clause in there. You need to read that thing. Look it up. It's on the Internet. There have been a whole bunch of things going on. At one point, I was not sold on Bitcoin. Why? Well, I had heard from some people in certain areas of currency enforcement, and that's a very specialized area, but it's there, that they were thinking about absconding with it. Now, there's been people, and if you ain't paid attention, you probably missed it, because it was just a little bump in the road, just one of them little, them little rocks that you always step on in the middle of the night when you're going straight trying to go to the bathroom. Well, that's what this is, a little, you mother, and you keep going. Well, there's been several people who wanted to print their own currency, and we're doing so. Multi-millions of dollars of raw materials, striking presses, the whole nine yards have been confiscated in several places, several states, all over the country. Well, people got tired of the idea of not having their own dollar. I'm still tired of it. And no, those Federal Reserve notes, FRNs, that greeny stuff you got in your pocket, ain't an American dollar. Get that through your head, because you're going to need to know this. That's an international reserve currency. It cannot be, and I want you to understand this, it cannot be consigned specifically to one state, meaning United States, Britain, or Russia, or China, or whoever. Now, China said no, but stayed on the phone when they were offered the opportunity for our defense forces on our continental United States to stand down and let them land. Now, I want you to think about this. This is the offer was made. This is one of them out-of-channels kind of things. Same way they hustle things around that people don't know about and ain't aware of. And so taking this to the next level, the person on the phone says, well, why not? I mean, we'll get everybody out of the way. And I said, there ain't no way. Why not? You know how kids are. But I was just a thump. Yeah, you can do it again, I hit you again. Well, this is one of them learning experiences for the person that was offering this deal. China says, well, what do you think, we're stupid? And the guy says, what do you mean? Dude, there are enough armed people in the United States that behind every blade of grass there would be somebody with a gun looking to shoot one of us. They estimated losses at around 80%. I want you to think about that. A fully equipped landing force, losing 80% of their personnel. Then that was a conservative estimate. They said it'd probably be more like 90%, and the expenditure wouldn't be worth the acquirement of whatever we ended up with. So the answer is, ain't no way. The armed citizen has spoken without saying a friggin' word. What happened? Millions upon millions of guns each and every year are sold to common everyday people who can scrape it together and afford to get one. Sometimes you got to get a used one to start with. Sometimes you got to trade up. Sometimes you got to do some deals. Sometimes you can buy privately. So there ain't no records. I mean, there's a variety of ways to do this. And the interesting part comes when China says, no. So who's that leave? Nobody. Well, who's nobody? Well, you want to get into the nobodies? How about this? How about us, the American people who don't count? And if you think you count, you're sadly mistaken until you can get their attention. When you when you attach somebody the hard way, and I mean attach somebody the hard way, you put the cold clammy down in their pants like they've been doing to us for so long, and you say, come here, boy, you in a heap of trouble. And you've seen that classic thing with the old pudgy southern sheriff and the mirrored shades. Come here, boy. Okay, same deal. Now, the new sheriff in town is us. The manner in which we got to do this is varied. Now, there are several things going on. This effort to get Glass-Steagall reinstituted after it had been negated and repealed is a far stretch of the imagination, I'll tell you that right now. Why? Well, you tell me who's going to vote against themselves. The fun and games starts at a point where people have to understand, and if you haven't watched, you haven't been listening, and it's not just online, it's on Fox News, it's on CNN, it's all over the place, where the government and governmental entities have been steadily legislating away certain freedoms, which is not terribly common but happens. They've got to be careful on that because you get into treason charges and they don't want to be they don't want to be stuck eating MREs in a FEMA camp somewhere. Believe me, they don't. And that's basically where they would end up. But I've got the I got some things going on here in the office I didn't expect, interrupting my train of thought. The fun and game starts when everybody understands that the system's broken. This is where your simple citizens' grand juries come in. They're simple, but they have a power that people don't understand. They're pretty much unlimited because they are basically a constitutional grand jury. Now, you think through that real closely. A little bit different than the, quote, fringe flag, maritime court systems and whatnot that we have, as we call our justice system. you think about the justice system, the first thing I think about is the Department of Justice. The first thing pops up in my mind on that is Eric Holder. This boy is guilty of international arms trafficking illegally to people who are known criminals. Cartels, drug people. I mean, good grief. I didn't know about it. Horse hockey, dude. You knew about it. You got to have real high-level approval before you can even think about doing something like that. Can't just do it on the slide. Don't work that way. Anybody that knows the government structure knows these things. How many of our federal employees on the job as border guards have been killed, murdered, or whatever you want to call it, to date with weapons that this man authorized to be sent across. I suggest, and I do this strongly and I do this continually, That's several counts, however many, of first-degree manslaughter. That's just below premeditated murder, in case people don't understand that. And, yeah, it can take the death penalty, but I don't think so. I think they just need to stick him in a FEMA camp and feed him MREs for a few years and see how he likes being on the other end of the totem pole. You know, that's that part they stick in the ground. Well, so you got a busted system. What can you do with it? Citizen grand juries are the simplest way out. The link's posted on my page at AmericanNationalMilitia.com. And believe me, when I tell you this, I'm not playing. This is one of your best ways to go. Now, there's a lot of efforts out there. One of those is Freedom Forum. I posted that just recently. You want to know about something about militias? Get in there and read. Join up. Well-regulated American militias, ramsite.com is another one. That's where Rick Light's area is. The militias are growing. And I'm suggesting to everybody, get in touch. There's ways, there's means. They'll check you out. They'll find out whether you're real or BS. They'll know whether or not you're a agent. And believe me, if you're an agent, don't bother. You don't want to be stripped naked and tied to a tree left in the woods for the critters to chew on you. Believe me, you don't. And that would be the sum total and or end of that experience. Now, if it's more public than that, when it presses on site, that happened in Ruidoso, New Mexico, where the Fed showed up and said, oh, yeah, well, you know, we got automatic weapons. What do you got, hunting rifles? And the woods come alive with 130-some barrels popping out from behind trees. The militia had been called that the sheriff was going to have to tend to some idiots from the federal government who decided they were in charge. I'm going to state this very simply. Each and every state in this United States is an independent nation. The paperwork's been attended. It has been accepted. It has been registered into. the military has a copy of it. Yeah, that's right. Everybody knows. It's all set. Everything's ready to go. I'm working on the last of it now. some of the things I've been doing publicly ain't going to be done out in the open no more. See if you can catch up with that. I don't think you can. These people that think that they're so cool, they listen in, they tap the phone lines, they turn things on and off whenever they feel like it, just to play games, our fan club, as we call them. Pretty cool. You've been doing a real interesting job. Now, that's only a portion of what's going on. You have several radio shows. Patriot Resistance is one of them, and it's on PRN Blog Talk. You got places to visit. Efforts being made. The New Republic is one of those. You've got, as I said, Freedom Forum. You've got efforts such as the Glass-Steagall thing that LaRouche is pushing. You got a lot of efforts out there that everybody can get involved with. I'll suggest that you don't spin your wheels. And I would further suggest that if you're really serious, and this is questionable, but it's a simple, logical question as to, what do you want to do and how far do you want to go? Do you want to be one of those people carrying a gun in the woods and maybe pull a trigger on somebody? Or would you rather go about it a different way? If you don't believe in the gun route, I recommend a citizen's grand jury. Why? It don't matter who it is within your state, and I want you to understand this, it don't matter. If they have done any illegal act that adversely affects your county that you are in or your municipality, you can take them to task for it, specifically if it is some sort of corrupt action. Anybody, think about it, somebody comes to visit. Interesting. Say it's a Whig, an important person, some oligarch. If you so decide and you have issued subpoena, an indictment of that individual for specifics to come and show cause before the grand jury why they should not be arrested for whatever it is they've done, and they fail to show up, that grand jury can issue an arrest warrant. Local law enforcement is supposed to comply. This does not necessarily mean that they will. If needs, and this is, I'm taking this to the next step, you can institute a grand jury marshal. Now, that's interesting because constitutional marshals are rare, and they're also extraordinarily powerful. You can't violate people's rights and play games, but you can go all the way into another county, all the way into another place, and snatch an individual that has had an adverse effect upon the well-being of the people within your county or municipality, and present them before the grand jury. You might want to think about this. Think about some oligarch. Think they're all that. Thanks for getting away with it. I'm doing speeches and I'm having a good time and I make $100,000 a pop on the speeches and I'm just enjoying myself. But I'm the dirty, rotten mother that instituted Benghazi. Ooh, think about that. Who was in charge of that? There's another one that should not be running around loose. That's 4 counts of first-degree manslaughter. Why was that person allowed to testify? And why was that person allowed to continue to run free? We got a broken justice system. It takes orders from the people who have the interest in things. Let's bring this back to Obamacare. And I want everybody to think about this. They decided because the website's so screwed up, and if you ain't watched the news, you probably don't know about it, but it's been going on over the last day or so. And I don't blame you if you don't want to get an upset stomach watching the talking heads on different news shows. But sometimes you can get a little info out of that. That $500,000 website that we got that all of us paid for out of our tax money is so screwed up that they decided they're going to try to sidestep it. Yeah, Obamacare website is the biggest piece of trash anybody ever designed for that amount of money. So Obama is going to try to get with the insurance companies and see what they can do by going around it. Why? Because everything that you can think of is wrong with that website. None of the information is protected in any way, shape, or form, whether anybody says different or not. Don't make no difference. The hackers have already been in there and absconded with people's ID and a bunch of other stuff. We got 106,000 people so far, according to the reports. Hopefully that's reasonably accurate, who have been able to sign up. They needed something along the line of $500,000 a month, and they're getting 106,000 over three months. Well, ain't working too well. The second part of it is that, as I said, nothing is secure. You give them your information, and they'll go order pills in their own name and be giggling in the woods, getting high on your medications. That's basically what's part of what's up. Secondly, you find out your credit card's getting maxed, and somebody took a loan out on your house, and it's called identity theft. It's not uncommon. Well, not to change the subject, but to continue in finance, there's a thing about Bitcoin. And I heard some rumors about Bitcoin, as I stated. There was a rumor floating around, and I had to wait till that rumor either died out or was negated. It was in the process of dying out when I got notification that they were not going to take any actions against Bitcoin. That's the currency enforcement arm of one of our alphabet agencies. So Bitcoin is safe. It ain't the greatest thing in the world because of its sponsors and the people who come up with the idea, but it does have a relative value. I had a thing posted, and I want to thank Dean for all his extra effort work on the website and whatnot. He just posted a thing from Gene Haynes explaining how to convert things to Bitcoin and or. And this goes to the donations for Neil Keenan. Everybody wants to know, why does Neil, if he's got access to all this money, need donations? Well, it's pretty simple. To date, and so far, none of the collateral accounts have been released. And what that means is that none of that humongous amount of money is directly available as of yet. So I've contributed to him. And, yeah, we're friends, but that wasn't I contributed to what the ideology behind what's going on and the direction it's to take. That's what I contributed to. It's called freedom. That's what all this is all about. Well, anyway, Gene Haynes has a site, and let's see. Click. Where is it at here? I know it's in here somewhere. 2012. What's the real truth? Bitcoin. For those who are having trouble with donation process, that's posted on the website, AmericanNationalMilitia.com. It'll explain to you how to go about these things so that if you wish to make a donation, you can. Up to you. I ain't pressuring nobody. But if you want financial freedom, I would strongly suggest that you got a few extra bucks, throw it down there. Throw it down there. Put your money where your mouth is. When the pot's right, you can deal the cards. It's not difficult to understand that. Well, I've been working with Neil for a while, and we got things to a point where after I was personally told by a certain Alphabet agency person and others, forget Neil, he's old news, that he don't matter. Then all of a sudden they're chasing him around in the woods. This was ordered by George Bush. In case you missed the last show, I mentioned that. Well, they failed in their attempt. Miserably. I'm not going to say where the woods were, but there's only one of three places a man would have gone, and I know all three of them, and I know which one he was getting chased in. I ain't saying, because I don't want anybody to be able to fetter out extra information that they shouldn't have, because everybody that does that feels they got to have their 5 minutes of fame and put it on the web. Oh, man, and my name's on it, and it's going everywhere, and everybody goes nuts. Yeah, just what everybody needs. Some dink out there screwing things up, and yeah, dink. So the Bitcoin thing, the conversion and or straight donation, look it up, and please make it a part of something that you want to accomplish. Now, I've covered some of this. I covered it extensively in one of my first interviews with David Wilcock. Anybody who wants to know where all this started, you can look at that. That's kind of old, but it's there, and it's still relevant today. A lot of people want to know, well, what about the plan? Is it still viable? Absolutely. If it wasn't viable, you would already have had problems. What do I mean by problems? Do you want the bad guys to jump up and bite you on the butt? No. Well, in this particular case, what we're going to do is what I've decided to do. I'm going underground. And by that, I mean I'm going to do things covertly, absolutely, privately, to such an extent that nobody can catch up with it. Nobody can listen in. That's not easy to do in this day and age, but I live far enough up in the woods, and I'm a good enough shot. And, yeah, I got a rifle with a scope. You want to try it, go for it. I don't recommend it, and I don't need gunfights, and I'm not challenging nobody. However, please don't interrupt me. You won't like the results. So, what do we got? We have a situation where, from now on, I'm going to start doing several things of importance that I understand the importance of covertly. It's going to be totally private. That means that nobody but me and the principal involved and the those affected will have any knowledge of it. That's what that means. And for those out there who don't understand, I have been trained. when you work with mobile missile defense, mobile missile attack systems, you have an option for an auxiliary class. Takes up your evenings. But I don't mind. I got trained. I took 7-8 classes in what's called covert operations, meaning that after you fire your missile, you find yourself suddenly behind enemy lines. What do you do? They teach you how to be something like the Great Escape, causing all the problems you can, use burning up manpower and assets, chasing one dude around. Yeah, well. besides that, I'm a fair electronics technician, and I know how to screw things up like these people have no imagination of. The gist of it is this. Yeah, I've been trained. I know how to operate totally silently. I can operate noisy. You're liable to just see all of a sudden a result, you know, like that guy that was hidden so well up in a tree falls out, that sort of thing. That's what I do. Similar to recon, sniper, among other things. Yeah, I was trained. Some people have asked me, and I've told them no. Well, sorry about lying to you, but I didn't want anybody to know at that point. I had to be careful. Things were coming up, and I knew they were coming up. I didn't know how far they were going to go. And they've got far enough that it's time. Okay, so I have had several conversations and communications with Neil and others, and we have to date come up with some fun and games. We are at a point where things are critical. Now, most people don't understand what critical means. By critical, I mean that if we don't get this accomplished, we're done. That means we're going to have to defend ourselves. You ain't got a gun, you ain't got supplies, you ain't got in touch with somebody who knows how to live outdoors. You might have a problem. I've been trying to tell this to people. Yeah, hopefully there's no big worrisome, nasty thing coming. I don't think there is, but what if one of these dinks that decides that they're going to do as much damage as possible on the way out pulls the plug, takes a crap in the fuel. There's a lot of different ways to subjugate things. So long as the system is not damaged, we have made provision. There have been provisions made. You get a combination of tactics and logistics. Logistics goes to being prepared, having the material within reach of, say, three different areas. The one that comes up with the problem first gets some of the supplies, and they can go run over and take care of business. These things are not far out in terms of distance, in terms of the time of response. Now, I'm going to further suggest that the militias keep your eyes open and ears to the ground, because I don't trust these people that are doing these nasty things. I don't trust the fact that they might not issue some kind of a, well, let's go take this little town, because they got a whole bunch of websites coming out of it, and people on the radio like me, that they don't want people out talking, and so let's go take this little town. It'd just be we'll just call it an exercise. Uh-huh. They had an exercise at several places recently, Boston bombing being one, mass shootings being others. I mean, that's their idea of an exercise? Wow. And I thought that the military had a funny idea about a camping trip when I went to Vietnam. I mean, it starts getting ludicrous, totally ridiculous, out of sight. More fun than a drunk wants to have trying to stand up. There is no way on earth that these people can do what they're doing without feeling like they are immune, above the law. And basically, those are acts of treason. Now, they had a thing tonight where, or today, where the Senate decided that filibuster was no longer a part of the system. This goes directly against the base construct of the Senate, and yet they did it anyway. They did it through a majority vote. Well, the last majority vote that the Democrats, and I want everybody to understand this real clearly before I get into this. Forget Democrat and Republican. It don't exist. If it's not done one way by one side, it'll be done another way by the other. Yeah, I want you to, I mean, you got to get your head around this, and that ain't easy to do. Supposedly, the Democratic Party was that of the working people, taking care of things, making sure that you got paid a little extra if you worked over 40 hours. Well, it came from a union. The unions were implemented by Democrats, not Republicans. Now, the difference being that the Republicans is supposedly the business side, And yet everybody, and I mean both Democrats and Republicans, have been screaming about things for quite a while. They're doing this. This ain't right. We got to fix this. You know, look what the Democrats are doing to us Republicans. Nasty dog. Democrats turn right around and says, yeah, well, let it bite you on the butt. You know, hope you don't like it. The House can produce something, but the Senate has to finalize it. And even if the Senate comes up with something, the House has to agree with it. Interesting. Think about that. Homeland Security Act, NDAA. I mean, where does it stop? When you no longer are securing your person, irrespective as to who might think otherwise, you got a police state. The ideology is to bring about what's called absolute socialism. Now, anybody thinks communism is bad, you ought to try absolute socialism. Socialism is where if you got more than one pair of shoes, they take one of them away from you. Think about it. You got too many pairs of socks, too much underwear, too many jeans. They take it away from you. You got more than one car, you don't need more than one car. Yeah. And they do so by the rule of law. Now, these laws, although they're legal, are probably immoral. What do you do? What do you do? How do you counter that? Well, as I said, I'm going underground with some operations here that I've initiated that should rectify a whole bunch of this stuff, and I mean quickly. Not something that's going to be delayed, not the fun and games. And you will hear people say, well, he said such and such. Yeah, well, did I? Really? Was that exactly what I said? Do people hear what I am saying in terms of the words I put out, or do they add their twist? Or do they just go, ooh, you don't say that to me. Who gave you the right to tell me what to do? No. Uh-uh. I got people that are really pissed. He told me to invest in silver, and I bought it, and I've lost several hundred dollars in the process. That was one of the things that I've seen recently. Well, how about this? And there's a lot of people out there praying for my ruination. Would love to just choke the life right out of me because I'm using up their oxygen and all this, which is fine. I hope I disturb you people terribly. Now, I'm going to throw something in here that's going to blow your mind. You're going to have a problem. The world is going to have a problem. It's going to be an economic problem. This is where the reserve currency goes to zero. Think about this. This is coming, whether y'all like it or not. You wanted inside info, I'm going to give you some. What happens when your dollar ain't worth squat other than the paper it's printed on? Now, there's about 20 cents, give or take, in the paper. That takes a lot of dollars to make up a grocery bill, don't it? All those people out there who listen to what I expressed, now, it's okay to get ingots, but I don't recommend buying precious metals in ingots. Why? It don't look like anything but a glob of shiny metal. If an individual is intelligent, they will buy Krugerrands, which are illegal here. Ooh. Well, get some kind of gold piece. If you can afford to pay the $1,200, $1,400, whatever it is right now, price. If not, and you decide to go into the silver market, do not buy ingots. Go out there and find some of the 60s era 80% silver coinage. That's even actually American money. When you go to the grocery to pay for your grocery bill, have them weigh it out, multiply by 0.8, whatever the going price is, and there will be spot price. Spot price is not going just as much as you think. Silver is about as low as it can get when it gets around $20. Gold can go down to around $1,100 at the least. Now, I want you to understand that. If you ain't got little bitty bits of gold coinage, you might have a problem. Them little tenth ouncers, what's a tenth of, say, $1,250? Oh, $125. And they make change to you, if the bill is a little different, in the silver coinage. Because the silver coinage is the small change for the large stuff. That's how it works. Irrespective, gold coins and silver coins are recognized currency, not just here in this country, not in just a couple of foreign countries, worldwide. How do you think Iran does deals? The banking system's closed to them. They mine their own gold, for one. What's the second part? Very simple. They can either strike it into gold coinage, which is sometimes done, or put it into ingots. And they accept purchases in gold. They sidestep the currency issue altogether. I want you to think about that. Yeah, Iran is not a going concern because we clamp down on everything. It is impossible to import something through the blockades almost. However, not totally impossible. Now, how do I know this? Well, they've still got an economy that it might be limping a bit because we kicked it in the kneecap real hard, but it's still there and it's running. Now, you got Netanyahu out there, Israel, saying, these guys are nasty. Well, yeah, they are. But then again, you got to realize there's a two-way street in all of this. Israel would love to blow Iraq off the face of the map. Iran, I mean, sorry. Why? Because Iran brought the subject up first. What's the problem? None of the world would go along with that because of the associations that Iran and Israel has. You're going to pit all of the major powers against each other over one little hot spot. They don't amount to squat. Now, that don't mean that the lives are unimportant. It does not mean people are not suffering. What it means is that we have to be understanding that these are agendas, not much more than that and not much less. The agenda is to wipe out any of the competition. You've seen that in the movies on the drug lords where one drug cartel will give information to the police about the other guy, about their competition's operation. Go get them. Uh-huh. Yeah, convenient. Okay, then you got to understand that the cartel that tells is going to come up on the radar. This is where the impossibility of the news you get through the insinuations in movies comes about. It's impossibility. Why? Well, the largest drug trafficker is the rogue officers in the CIA and certain portions of the military. And what happens when you compete with the big boys? They squish you like a cockroach. Now, you want a little other news? Central banking systems are in trouble. Why are they in trouble? It ain't for a lack of dollars. It ain't for a lack of currency. It's for a lack of the collateral that backs it. This is where the problem is. And I've been told, oh, they got plenty of money. Yeah, right. Well, they do. What's backing that currency? Why is it that the dollar buys less and less? How is it that it takes more on a regular basis for everything that we do? How is it we've had one nice thing. The gas price went down some. Should be around a buck, buck and a half maybe per gallon. That would be a true price. You get a phone line, they charge you $21 and something in taxes. Think about it. Think about that real close. $21, what are you getting for that? Poor communications, among other things? Well, maybe it's time to negate some taxes. Maybe it's time to legislate a procedure where, no, you don't get the tax. How is it that the federal government can come in and stick their cold clammy down your pants and take what they want? How does that work? It works because we, the people, allow it to. Only reason. Well, how do you get to a point where you don't have to allow that? If you want to go about the legal route, citizens grand jury. If you also want to be prepared, get with a militia. Now, that does not mean that you're going to be an outlaw. It does not mean that we can go playing games. You may not join a junior Hitler group. Those are not allowed in the militias. They don't allow that, and I don't blame them a bit. It's all about freedom. It's all about the exercise of the rights involved. Second Amendment right to carry arms, keep and bear arms, means and this has been, I mean, it's still, everything's still in force. An individual who can afford it can own any military weapon. to include ICBM nuclear warheads, M-70 Abrams tanks, machine guns, rocket launchers, grenade launchers, the whole nine yards. You are allowed to do so. Constitutional. Not by their laws, their controls. Forget that. Constitutionally, you are allowed. Basic right. It is, in terms of bearing arms, it is. And it is the standalone insurance policy for all of the rest of your rights. Now, recently we had some court cases. One of them come up, and they ruled that the individual entities known as churches do have the right to their religious parameters, their operational procedures as they see fit. In other words, no, they don't have to offer birth control anymore. That Supreme Court said that. They finally did part of the job right. That don't mean they're not in violation of a whole bunch of other things and should be held accountable for it. It means that they finally did something the way it was supposed to be done. That happened last week, as I understand it, and it's been reaffirmed. And, yeah, you're going to have a lot of objections. Tough. You don't like it? Go someplace. You don't like the idea of having problems with things? Quit regulating us into the Stone Age. It's not difficult. How do you stop somebody from doing that? Well, right now everybody's looking at the 2014 elections. I don't know that we're going to go that far. Personally, I don't think we'll make it to that distance. I think things are going to change before that. I really honestly believe that. I wouldn't be saying it. I've been trying to work on things and get them to where they change before it gets down to the nitty-gritty, before it gets to the end zone, before the guy steps in for the touchdown and tells you, ha-ha, we win. That don't cut it with me. I've got people that do give me information, and I mean a ton of it. I get things from people that I never thought I'd ever hear from, just to be quite honest. I'm surprised on a regular basis by the people that do communicate with me and the manner in which and the level of the information and intelligence that I get. It's pretty overwhelming at times. It really gives me a bad case of the problems. But I've been doing this long enough that I'm getting used to it, actually, and I look forward to the idea that I got information that other people don't. Now, here's the deal. You want inside intel? We're close on a whole bunch of different fronts, and that includes everything that I've talked about over the past few years, not just part of it, all of it. We're close. Now, a lot of people say, ooh, this, that, or the other thing. As an example, Neil is not relevant anymore. Forget him. He's old news. And yet all of a sudden they're chasing him around in the woods. That tells me somebody was lying to me. That tells me that he is relevant. That tells me that he does have some stuff they want. It does tell me that what we're doing is making a difference, or they wouldn't go to that much trouble. Now, you consider this stuff. That's only one portion of this. There are a whole bunch of portions of it. The good guys in the military keeping their head down. Why? Well, Obama will pop you right out the door, put you in the trash can. You're retired. Bye. Or fire you. See you later. You know, hit the road, Toad. No big deal. He don't have any qualms about dropping experienced senior military people on their butt on the curb. That sure don't help the defense of our country if it would come to that. Most of the classical stuff that you're familiar with is irrelevant. And by classical, I mean the things that we have grown up with, traditions, things that people are really familiar with, no longer actually have the impact and import that they used to have. Why? Well, from the young people I've talked to, they don't see any future in any of it. There's no jobs anyway. Why worry about it? I live in the basement at Mom's house. A lot of the people who went to college and racked up all them debts, and they ain't got no way to pay for it. You sure are going to have problems making the payments working at 7-Eleven or somewhere if you can get hired there. That's what I said. If you can get hired there. Good grief. They've stepped on logging around this area of the country, all along the eastern seaboard. They're getting ready to step on it out west. If you haven't seen the videos in different places, there was one guy worked as a truck driver for a logging company. They closed down the mills and the logging and everything, so he moved. He come down to Florida, got him a job down there in construction. All of a sudden, that dried up. Now what do you do? Uh-huh. Ain't no jobs. It just ain't any. You see these unemployment rates. You see these facts, figures, and numbers come out of the official output of the spun BS that is authorized communication to all these talking heads. And you begin to wonder, well, what on earth, all of a sudden the stock market's over 16,000? How did that happen? If nobody's buying anything, now I want everybody to think about this. They're trying to tell you everything's getting better. People are quitting buying. They can't afford it. What's going on right now is they have to make a choice between Christmas and the up-and-coming Obamacare monthly three times. I was paying $200 and something a month. Now they want $785. They're out of their minds. How's somebody on disability, $1,100, $1,200 a month, how are they going to pay that? You got a choice, pay the rent and buy food, and you ain't got nothing left anyway. Just maybe enough chump change to get to and from a job if you can find one. What do you do when you were living on the overtime and all of a sudden the overtime is gone? It's real simple. Not much. But for those people who are serious, looking at things in a comprehensive way, you got to look at it like this. A little bit of that junk silver, that can buy you a sandwich. It can pay some bills. It's not going to be easy to convince some of these retailers that they got to weigh that out for spot value, but it will not go to zero. Now, I want you to think about this real close. What do you do if or when the dollar goes to zero? What happens? All of the world's economies come to a screeching halt. Why? They're all heavily invested in it. Ooh, that's why people have been dropping the dollar and buying gold and silver. These countries, I want 200 tons. Why? Well, I've got to replace my dollars. Oh, why do you think people have been shying away from it? Because it's dangerous to be in it. At the arbitrary whim of the central banking system, interest rates, and everything else, value of the dollar, if they'll give any up, the ability to have what's called commercial paper, that's where the guy borrows the money to pay payroll because an order's come through that is big enough that it's going to take him a certain amount of production and it's going to be longer than time, and so he's got to make payroll between now and getting paid. When he gets paid, he pays the loan off and has a little extra cash. That's a lot of people play the borrowed money routine. And what happens when that dries up? Now, one of the things that was pointed out in that video, if you haven't seen it, like I said, it's posted on the website. It's called Inside Job. I recommend it so that you get educated. Now, the interesting part was they were talking about a thing called leverage. And leverage is the amount of ratio to borrowed money in relation to real assets. In other words, you got $100 million in deposits, and you got another $1 billion on top of that in leverage. In other words, you borrowed that money. That means that a 1% or 2% variation in your base, that's the actual money you get in deposits, can cause Citi, Bank of America, or any one of these oligarchs to go pop. Just like the balloon that people pop at the park. And were that to happen, you think that last recession, the little bit of time where everything stood still for about a week, you think that was bad? Turn that into a month. Turn that into a portion of a year or more. All of a sudden, junk silver is going to go up in price. Yeah, that's right. You begin to pay attention, I hope. Dimes, quarters, half dollars, and silver dollars are the denominations. Nickels did not contain silver enough to be worth the trouble. That's why they call them nickels, made out of nickel, not silver. So, those people who might think they've lost, what do you think is going to transpire were the FRMs, Federal Reserve Notes, the dollars that we carry in our pockets and supposedly are good for debts, if that goes to zero, like the Great Depression, either there ain't any or it don't have no value, what happens then? What happens then is you got just a little bit, you can go to the grocery and you can eat. Now, I recommend growing your own food. I recommend having food on hand if you can. You see something for two for a dollar, it may not be the best thing in the world. Go ahead and get it. It's better to eat than not. Might not be the greatest thing for you, but it's better to eat than not. And it's better to be able to buy a little gas so you can get to and from. You might be the only car on the friggin' road. I intend to keep myself undercover. I don't intend to let nobody know that I got anything. I don't intend to let anybody think that I have any kind of a value other than putting the information out on this show. That's the only value so far anybody's going to see. Now, when things pop, and I'm hoping that in the very near future they do, and I've been hoping this for a while, well, I finally got the keys to the kingdom. I found out where what I need to do. And ladies and gentlemen, covertly, secretively, under the bed, under the covers kind of thing, that's how I'm going to do it. Everybody thinks they know what I do? See if you can figure this one out, because I don't think you can. And no, you won't know until after the fact that anything happened. And no, you don't know who I'm going to be dealing with. I've got about 15, 20 different people I can deal with. all I got to do is ask certain people. Information's right there. The gist of this is, what do you want to end up with? The gist of this is, how far are you willing to go? It don't matter about the deadliness of the weapon you got and your capability to shoot it. It depends on whether or not you're willing to exercise that finger and pull the trigger at the right time. How far are you willing to go? I'm willing to pull the trigger for my freedom. I hope there are a lot of people out there also willing to do so. May not be necessary, but be ready to do it. And please, do everybody a favor and don't hesitate. Make sure you target. Watch what's behind it in case you're in an urban environment. That's called background. All the cops and the SWAT and everybody's trained in all this. Watch your background. If you use a high-powered weapon, then you got to understand that 90% of the time, that bullet goes straight through and will hit another target. You don't want to kill no little kids. You don't want to hurt nobody without probable, proper cause. what do you do? Well, I've told you pretty much how it goes. We've got to clean our government up. We've got a lot of things that need to be taken care of, and I mean there is a load of them. This is not going to be something that only a very few people can handle. It's going to require the efforts and a lot of work from everybody. And I'm hoping when it pops, a lot of people step up and say, yeah, I can do some of that. And it don't matter. If you can give somebody 30 minutes after work a day, that works. That takes the load out. You get 25, 30 people doing that, then you got a half hour a day. Say you do that 5 days a week. What is that, two and a half hours? Well, multiply it by 10. Oh, all of a sudden there's 25 hours, man hours of work involved that has been accomplished. This is what you have to understand. This is the manner in which you got to look at it. When you get together with a survival group, be it a militia or a neighborhood group, somebody that don't want to be out there having to make that decision to pull that trigger and not hesitate, we got to wash dishes, cook, you know, we got the clothes that need to be, you know, fixed up. Who's got medical experience? You know, how many, maybe you could be in communications. I mean, you know, figure something out. I'm sure we can fit everybody in some way or another. And that's basically my splurge so far. Tom, we got some music?
Yes, we sure do. That was an interesting first hour and a bit. Hopefully the second hour will be just as good. Now, this next song, it kind of doesn't agree with me, but I think it's rather appropriate at this time. It doesn't agree with me because of my affiliations to a UK soccer team, but I feel it's rather appropriate. This song goes out to Rayford Marshall, Luna Lisa Doherty, both who are struggling at this moment, but especially to Neil Keenan. And we'll be back shortly.
When you walk through a storm, hold your head up high and don't be afraid of the dark. At the end of a storm, there's a golden sky and the sweet silver sound of the love. Walk on through the wind.
So much more to ask of you. Hilburn's here. He's a great writer. 70 years old, his birthday. He's got a book out, Breakfast Complex. Do you know about that?
I do.
Hi all, and welcome back to the second hour of Cosmic Voice with Drake. Those two songs, the first one was You'll Never Walk Alone. Like I say, it's not my a song I would select, but come on, you blues, for this Saturday. And the second one was You Two. Still haven't found what I'm looking for. And with that, we'll start the second hour with Drake.
All right.
Drake, the last thing you mentioned in the first hour was about the silver. Can you expand on what will happen with silver if the JP Morgan lawsuit of price fixing against silver that's gone on for numbers of years happens? I think it would be beneficial to people considering buying silver.
Well, the COMEX, in case anybody doesn't know what that is, that's where the spot price comes from. It's one of the, it is supposedly the place to go. There's a couple of others, but it doesn't really matter. Each and every last one of them has things that they use that are not to the benefit of anyone other than themselves. One of those is where somebody would put in an order for delivery of physical gold or silver, say a country, and that delivery cannot be made. The option is to cash out, okay? What that does is that means that they negate or deduct that amount from the, quote, overall gold price against what they consider as the world assets. And what that does is it blows a hole in the prices. Very simple. You've seen gold go up and down tremendously along with silver. Now, what you have to understand is that is a relative to dollar value. So what that does is instead of having $27, $28 silver, you get dropped down to I think it is right now, if I remember correctly. Gold's down to 1,200 and something from 14 at its high. What do you do with that? Well, the thing is that as this thing is unwound, and it will be unwound, I'm going to see to it personally, among other things, the situation becomes untenable in terms of the dollar value. The dollar value then becomes nothing but a reserve currency and cannot be directly attached to either the people or the United States. It can be attached to the corporation only. This is how, or one of the manners in which, the dollar goes to zero. It won't last long, but it will go to zero. When it does, only those people who have holdings, and I mean, you know, it don't take a lot. I'd try to get a week's pay, give or take, in junk silver, as they call it. That's your old coinage that has 80% or 85% silver content. What that does is that gives you a viable and realistic coinage that can be used irrespective as to what the dollar does. This is something people don't understand. You're not going to be penniless. And it's not going to be a situation such as was had in Germany on several occasions where they burnt money to keep warm. Those were rich people, but still, think about that, where they papered the walls with it. There are still places in the South where the Confederate currencies are under the wallpaper. This I know for a fact. I've talked to a lot of people, and every remodeler I know of can give you stacks of Confederate currency. they used it to keep the cold out because that's all it was worth at that point. The things that have gone on in the past are past, not a lot that people can do to change those. However, what can be done is to consistently and concisely work towards a future that is not just viable, but actually a realistic one. The manner in which you do that is you have to cut out all the regulatory BS. Now, a regulation can be as simple as a state law. That's not law. I want everybody to understand that's not law. It's a regulation. You also have to look at municipal ordinances. Same deal. All of these things combine into a system that is perpetrated in a manner to benefit only those who are in control of it, meaning your oligarchs, your 2%, as I mentioned before. So that's the manner in which these people operate. There are things such as UN dictates, unfunded federal mandates, thou shalt do it this way, or whatever it might be, that may or may not be valid legally. So in terms of legalities, you have to take that out of the picture before you can get yourself right in terms of currency values. When the United States comes up with its own American dollar, then we got something to work with. Now, I understand this is all ready to go, but you got to also understand it may take a little time to get to that point. The American dollar very well will be more valuable than the dollar itself. This may take a little time, but think about it. you know, you end up with a new dollar, and it will be an exchange one for one at the time. Basically, they'll take the Federal Reserve note out of circulation in terms of an operable civilian accessed currency. They have to, if we keep that part of the system. You got to remember, we're going back to the square one. We rewrite the basis for all of this. We redo it in such a manner that it cannot be screwed with as it has been over, well, specifically the last 10, 15 years here, where it cannot be end up this way, where we don't have these problems. This is where you come into total transparency in financial. Total transparency. Credit default options, credit default swaps, oh my goodness. I mean, the reasons for what has been done is simple. It goes into that movie. All of the things in there are valid. Some of the information came through some of the things that I've done back in 2010. Some of the things that I was putting out to certain people, I know some of the people that are listed in those credits. We had conversations. We talked about this stuff. It is real. It is all a Ponzi scheme, and we are the one that's born every minute. the poor dummy that don't have a clue. I'll give you an example, and I want you to think about this. Remember in 08, how far the market fell. It went down from about right at 12 down to about half that. Well, what's it going to go to this time? 8? That's half of 16, if that high. Why? Well, you have multiplications of things that don't mean anything that derives the price for which you pay. Same thing as the corruption dealing with COMEX and your silver and gold prices. Same thing that deals with all of the base of the finance is all corrupted to the advantage of those who would glean the most out of it. Now, bear in mind, at 20 cents a pop, if you got 500 billion of them, you're going to make some serious cash. Then you have that large sum that you can cause things to happen with. Exactly that. And this is exactly how the game is played. If you have a certain amount, and you got to have 500 million minimum to be anybody. Now, that's, you know, anybody I know of, very many people I know of, could entertain that kind of a number. So where does that leave everybody? Well, 98% of us ain't got it. So that means we're a trash can. That means that we are combat battlefield fodder for the cannons. That means that we are the useless eaters, the expendables that are talked about in Agenda 21. In a realistic manner, to give you a further example, people are slotted in at anywhere from 700 a month to 1,200 a month on average on Social Security benefits. Well, you paid for it. Now, do you think that you pay in X amount in 1956 and they pay you what the going interest rate was at that time, one time only? Do you really think that they're not making interest on that money that's sitting there? Do you really think they're that stupid? Did you know that Social Security has been being systematically raped by the federal government by purchase of federal bonds? I mean, there's things that need to be absolutely stopped. I'd like to see the corporation go down for one reason. I want everything that they got to put it back, first of all, in Social Security. They owe us trillions of dollars. But whatever, you know, percentage we can get, I'd be happy with. To go the step further, they never had the right to take taxes anyway, and our taxes don't stay here. If it did, it wouldn't be funny numbers on a computer screen somewhere. It's not difficult to understand the level and type of corruption that's been going on for 400 years ago, basically. Worked well in other countries, so they brought it here. We thought we won our War of Independence, and we lost it. How? The banks. Doesn't matter who writes the law as long as I control the money. You've heard that from famous people. They stated it out in the open. Doesn't matter. As long as I control the money, I got you. So who controls London? Who controls the city of London? There's only one banking concern. It's called the Rothschilds. They control it. Now, what does that tell you? That means that all of these subsidiary and lesser banks and lesser financial institutions, to include that which is owned by them, also known as the central banking system, are there for the profit only. Oh, now, where does that leave us? Well, it needs to be changed. I offer that we will be making those changes, I hope, in the very near future. I'm doing everything I can to see to it that that comes about, and we'll go from there. Next.
Right. To go back to the original question, my understanding is that J.P. Morgan has been, for want of a better word, fiddling the prices due to their overselling of physical silver to the tune of 100. So they're keeping the price low. Silver should be 3 to 1 or up to 7 to 1 compared to gold. So if
yep.
that lawsuit happens, then silver is going to go through the roof.
So, yeah, well, there's going to be a turnaround in values.
Yeah.
I'd say that it probably will even out and average to somewhere near equality. I will say that's going to be around, I'd say around $700 per ounce per each. And it'll stay there for a little while. As the American dollar comes out and becomes our country's personal currency, then you're going to start seeing silver go like crazy. all of a sudden it'll double, triple, etc. You're going to end up with silver. Silver is not nearly as common as gold. Gold is a lot more common, people think. Diamonds ain't worth squat because now they're artificially producing them. Counterfeiting of additional currencies that they call quantitative easing means that they're just flushing the place with money so people got money they can borrow. It doesn't mean that there is any intrinsic value. Plus, they actually reduce it through inflating the numbers of dollars out there. What this means is that your dollar buys less, so you have to borrow more or make more. And it's a pretty insidious cycle. But the thing that uridium is going to be one of the best metals to own, actually. There's a couple of rare earth metals, but there's not enough of that to go around. So you're left with something like silver primarily as your best alternative. Now, I'm not going to say that the prices ain't going to fluctuate. I've never said that. I've never said that they'd hold steady. I've never said that. Not me. I know better. They can play with that just as well as they can do any of these other fun and games that they play with. So what we have to do as a group, as a total entity, I'm talking about everybody, is base ourselves in the same ways that these oligarchs have, where they've got a certain personal private stash, fortune, however you want to look at that, to protect themselves. Some of the reasons that there are physical problems in terms of finance in places is because these people absolutely positively won't touch that until such time as everything goes in the toilet. And then they have a little silver that they can go down and buy groceries with. Just like I'm telling the average person, you know, it's not that expensive to buy it. It really isn't, especially right now. Now would be a good time to accrue it because things are at the point of happening. And when things start happening, you may not have the option. That's something you got to consider. You have to be mindful of this. So, yeah, you're going to have an evening out. I'm suggesting a probability of a number around 700. It could be 800, 900. I don't know. That will be determined by usage. It'll be determined by what people consider some kind of fair value. But if you accrue that kind of advance on silver, I mean, if you spent $25 an ounce and it all of a sudden goes to 800, you probably got a lot more than that than you do gold, if you got any gold at all. So you're going to be doing well. People that also hold gold are going to have lose a little value on it and gain a whole load on their silver. People that were able to diversify into the two metals. So you're not going to really lose what you think you're going to lose. What the deal is right now is to suppress the prices of commodities, all of them, to a point where people sell, period. Well, I got to get out of that and save my money. It keeps going down. Well, they're doing that on purpose. Anybody who can should hold. Just that simple. Because as you hold your position, they run out of time. Because eventually, you have to have the currency or value flow. If you don't, you're done. You're fried. It's over with. You don't have any place to be. You don't have anything to work with. So, in order to keep that liquidity going, that means that they're going to end up having to allow the prices to go to what is called a true market. When that happens, then you'll see the adjustments I'm talking about. I don't know whether this is going to be real quick. It could be in the future. Don't know how far or to what extent. So it would be a guess if I was to say something. Okay?
Yep. The other thing to mention about silver, if everyone bought an ounce of silver or more, take physical stock of it. Because if hundreds of thousands of people started buying silver, it will bring Morgan Chase down very, very quickly because they haven't got the stock. All right, are we ready for questions?
Oh, yeah.
Drake, why does the United States need gold or collateral when the Treasury can print interest-free fiat money backed by the full faith and credit of the United States?
Well, that's because the full faith and credit of the United States is the United States of America Incorporated. It goes to the corporation, doesn't have anything to do with us. That means that they can print all that monopoly money they want. That means that they don't have to have, within certain limits, true asset valuation backing it. But you have to remember one thing. Other than certain thefts, the collateral accounts have been closed to these entities. What that means is that they do not have the collateral necessary, and this is new collateral. This is where your certificates come in. You can see them on the website. They're posted. Gold certificates come in and are monetized into whatever currency that country has. Okay? The problem is that they cannot get valid certificates. Now, the valid certificate is going to look just as junk as any of the ones that have been counterfeited. The difference is that there are specific numbers and codes that validate the use of that particular and specific asset, the amount, who it goes to, and the individuals involved. This is all in the contract. And if you don't have that, then you, according to treaty, and this is international, world treaty, you're not allowed to print beyond a certain point. They're reaching that point. The accounts that they were able to steal from recently were not very big ones. They were not little. I mean, the numbers are big, but in terms of $1 trillion a year, they don't make squat. So you have to understand that they have run out of their base collateral access. And this is the base. This is the basis for some of the problems that are going on presently. Why do you think the European Union is so uptight about any kind of currency fluctuation? Why do you think that the central banking systems, and this is worldwide, allow the euro and the pound to be so superior to everything else? That's because that's where the origin of the monetary system we're playing with comes from. This is where the greatest thieves are. This is where the most of the oligarchs have put themselves into power. Now, the problem with that is, at this point, that's dwindling. The gold reserves have been pretty much parted out. Plenty of money. Oh, we got lots of euros, but what happens when you put a whole bunch of something into the market? I ain't paying $3 for something that's worth 50 cents. Would you? Next.
Right. Can you comment on Gene's post to donate to Neil or all is lost?
Neil's at a critical point in what he's doing. And he needs funding, and anybody that's got a few bucks that they can afford to part with, I recommend that you fund Neil. And the reason I do is that he is going to be the representative for the collateral accounts, all of them. This includes certain trusts that people mention from time to time. Basically, what it'll amount to is that we will have an extraordinary humanitarian effort on this planet, so that people's needs, where people are hungry, they don't got clothes, they're living outside, whatever the need may be, is seen to. Now, you know, people in Africa need wells. Not difficult to see what's going on. When people no longer have to use the force of arms to get what they need, then a combination of things happens. The crime goes down, whether it's troops. And there's a lot of troops that ain't cool, whether it's armed groups. You got a lot of different drug cartels You've got the cabal here. When these people no longer have the capability of garnering assets, they can't pay the bad guys to do something. If you can't pay your troops, they're going to go home. Are they going to take their gun and go find something to eat on their own? They're not going to play your game anymore. And this is basically the difference in terms of the beginning of the social reset that's required. Humanitarianism, and I can't recommend it fully because some people are about as inhuman as it gets, but for the average, normal, everyday person, most every place, they want to be able to live reasonably. Now, some people are greedy, but most of them just want to live reasonably, have food to eat, clothes to wear, and a family. Basically, that's, you know, and that's, you know, this is a generality, but this basis means that I don't have a problem with a Muslim. Believe what you want. My raising was more toward the Christian Catholicism type of beliefs. Those are ingrained from childhood. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, it doesn't matter if any of these beliefs might not be correct. What matters is that you believe in something greater than yourself, and you attune your morality to the simplistic universal law known as the Golden Rule. You do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Your rights end where the other person's nose begins. They also should respect the same thing. The closing of Israel, it ain't closed. People like to think it is. They're still trading beans back and forth. They don't care about that. I don't want to hear that. Somebody says, well, you just crossed the border. Really? I don't see you lying in the sand anywhere out here in the middle of the desert. And I've been riding my camel across here for 50 generations. Tell me something that makes sense. A lot of this stuff don't make sense. You're going to have to forget borders. The planet is too small to hide everybody and segregate everybody. It ain't going to work anymore. It just ain't. In order to be a viable world community, you're going to have to look at it as a community and function as one as well. In other words, somebody's got needs someplace, you go see to it. Now, the most mobile of our capabilities of doing that are the varying militaries. We've got three superpowers. Well, actually four, Russia, China, Great Britain, and the United States. There's four basic superpowers. Anybody don't like that, well, there you go. It's tough, Israel. You didn't make the cut. The basis of that is that we have all of us, each one of us, has large military. The United States probably is the leader in that area, I would imagine. China is probably second because they have the money to do so. Russia, I would say, is probably third. Now, what happens when these people all get together and work together in a humanitarian effect? The Army Corps of Engineers can run through and redesign places that are below sea level, like New Orleans, fix the dikes, pump the water out, and rebuild the houses. What happens if you go into these nations that need the help? Right now, China's hurting. Right now, we've got places in Illinois that could use manpower. If somebody can go up there and lend a hand, by all means, call them up and see where they need the help. If you've got several people, that's great. The Illinois militia is filling in. They are helping. They are there. Why? They got a communication system. Number two, they're in touch with the local governments, local law enforcement. These people are involved. So when you put your butt on the line for other people, and I don't know people in Illinois, but I'd be willing to go there. If they called me, I'd probably go. I mean, I can. I'm not physically able to do a lot, but I know how to coordinate. I'm a fairly decent construction engineer. I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to be able to show people how to put a house together. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to run a front-end loader. It only takes a little bit of practice, and it don't matter if Mom never drove one before either. A few minutes of instruction, and she'd be out there going, yahoo, filling up dump trucks and just giggling her butt off about it. It's fun. It's not something that somebody should be forced to do. It is something that people should be willing, out of the goodness of their heart and their moral obligation, not just to themselves but to others, of if somebody's hungry, you feed them. That sort of thing. This is where the crux of it all comes in. As each person gives another person a hand up, the problems vaporize. Just like that morning mist, when the sun comes out and hits it, it just poof, it's gone, and everything's right the way it should be. This is the type of actions necessary in order for us as the human race to finally say, no, I don't care if your government don't agree with mine. I don't care if my government don't agree with you. We ain't playing your game anymore. The answer is no. Now, I just shared on the Cosmic Voice Facebook page a picture of a frog. No, I ain't even going to start. I ain't going to participate. And I thought it was cool, so I put it out. These are my core beliefs. It does not matter that people think a certain thing. What matters is what they do about it. It matters how far they're willing to go. It matters to what extent they're willing to put that hand out for that hand up, to steady the grandma that can't quite get over that tall curb, to hold the door for somebody who's having trouble with groceries and kids, whatever. I mean, you know, think of something. You know, somebody needs a set of steps because the old ones are rotten. I'm sure that somebody has enough money to pay for the lumber if there ain't a real good deal on it, because the lumber company knows what you're doing. And I'm sure there's a carpenter out there who knows how to put a set of steps together. I mean, it and bingo, you solved a serious problem for someone. You made their life a little better. Each time you do that, even if it's a smile you give away because it's kind of funny, whatever it may be, then you get to the point where the reality of the unconditional love of caring comes in. You don't step on a nest full of little baby birds. You put the nest back in the tree. Simple. It's not. This is all not complicated. As we ingrain this in ourselves and actually take action on it, then we become the human beings that, and I'm going to say this, God intended us to be. You can call that the Creator. You can say that we're supposed to be all we can be. Well, that's part of being what we're supposed to be. And this is my take on it, not somebody else's. And it comes from a whole bunch of places. But the focus is very simple. The family under Judaism is the crowning achievement. And we are the crown of creation individually, but as we function, treating people as brothers and sisters, as we do that, then the crown's placed on your head. Not until. Next.
Right. Drake, is the info from Benjamin Fulford read the cabal being in surrender negotiations and paying $7 trillion true?
Not that I've heard. I don't think they'd be chasing Neil Keenan around in the woods if that was true. They're trying to get a hold of what it takes to be able to laugh at everybody. Ben's not getting good information, apparently. Next.
Can Canadians form citizen grand juries like in the USA or other countries as well?
Absolutely. It goes to basic civilian rights, the individual rights of an individual. When you find that you have a problem initiating legal action, the basic system may be slightly different in Canada than the United States in terms of initiating a citizen's grand jury, but yes, you can, from what I understand of it. Now, if somebody out there knows different, please correct me. We'll post it, and we'll let everybody in the world know. But from my understanding, yes, you can. And those would be in the we've got states and counties primarily here. You have to have a majority of the counties or the smallest entity of a state or a province or whatever. You have to have a majority of those in agreement. if that's the case in Canada, then you could do the same thing that we are basically doing here, as I understand it. Okay?
Isn't that basically what Kevin Annett did, like a common law?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I got to get in touch with him. He sent me a contact.
So it is available in Canada. And,
as far as I know, yes. I'm not an absolute expert outside of the United States. I'm going to tell you, I know British law, Canadian law, Mexican law. I'm not going to tell you that I do because I don't. There's a lot of things I don't know. I've been concentrating on setting the United States free because I think it'll be contagious into Canada and Mexico. And I also believe that there are, from what I hear, some 20-plus nations that have got everything set to go in terms of, well, the Yanks did it, by God, it's our turn, and they go off and, you know, replace their corrupt government with somebody who's honest. It ain't going to just be us. Apparently we're going to start something, and it's going to just spread like wildfire. Hey, we can be free, really. Yeah, let's go. Yeah. Next.
Well, talking about Kevin Annett, can you pass comments about what Kevin Annett said, where he talks about the Vatican trying to work with China and Russia, some kind of a power block? Why would those two nations work with the Vatican?
That's because of the Vatican Bank and the fact that China is coming up against a wall financially right now, and Russia has needed help for a while. And they can play games in terms of, oh, we can provide you with some cash. Best government money can buy. And it don't matter where, it don't matter which government, it's always there. This is the corruption thing. And then the person that holds the purse strings, well, you owe us, says, so we'll let you continue to make minimal payments on what you owe us if you do this for us or that. And that's how that works. The problem is that the Vatican no longer holds the power it once had, and the Vatican Bank has had some physical problems. Those things are being fixed, and they're trying to reach out now. Okay?
Yes. Yeah. Drake, can you explain how the cabal has lost access to billions of dollars in their corporations, conglomerates, and such?
No, they haven't really lost access. The dollars, you got to remember this. There's a difference between dollars and true assets. A true asset or collateral, when you get a loan to buy a car, they get that loan extends to being able to cause you to make an extra payment because your house or your property is involved or your tools or something of this nature. Oh, you already own a car? Well, why don't you you give us the title of that, and when you pay the truck off, we'll give it back to you. That sort of thing. This is how that double dip works. They don't have any right to do that, but they do it, and it's considered common business practice, and it should be outlawed pretty much. They got dollar bills, but they don't have the collateral to back it, meaning that a true transfer of wealth is collateral and collateral only. This is why you have shipments of gold running around all over the planet. This is why you have settlement banks. This is where these things come from. You have to have some way to say, well, this country owes this much, and they're making this much payment, and you take 40 bricks of gold out of one little cage and put it in the other one. That, I believe, was shown in one of the Die Hard movies, where they blew up New York, blew up New York subway, and they run in there and grabbed 20 dump trucks of gold. Okay?
Yep. As of January 2014, my company's healthcare will not be available because it does not qualify and it cannot be offered. Will this mess we refer to as Obamacare be null and void by then, January 2014?
I'm doing everything I can to get rid of Obamacare. There are the beginnings of some talk, and it's become pretty well grounded. There's a lot more people talking about it every day, and that is the repealing of Obamacare, that it should be repealed totally and start over and make it right. The existing system, you got Medicaid, Medicare, and emergency services involved in both of those. Now, if there were some mild adjustments to that, you could basically insure young people at a very low rate, and that would be like $10 a month maybe. And that would go into an account, and that account, Social Security or somebody that's already got the system set up could administer this. That account then would pay for a catastrophic problem. You know, the young guy's working construction, falls off a roof and breaks his leg. Okay, simple. Anything that would go over that in terms of expense could be handled as a long-term payment deal. Now, the problem is not so much insurance. Okay, I want everybody to get this. This is really, really the crux of it. It is the insurance that is required in order to set that bone. To perform an operation, you have to have $100,000 coverage, one operation. Give me a friggin' break. No, you don't have to have that coverage if, and this is the big if, the doctor does a good job, he didn't need that coverage to begin with. So the premium of $5,000 to cover the $100,000 isn't part of the bill that you would pay. In short, an appendectomy for $35,000-$40,000, give or take, should be more in line with a $3,000 to $5,000 cost at the most, and that's top of the line surgeon. Average surgeon probably $1,500 or maybe less. The healthcare system, known as Medicare, has a listing of costs, and those costs should be the ones that are implemented. And if it needs to be cost controls, so be it. Just because somebody comes up with a new car doesn't mean that a $5,000 car is worth $25 today, unless the currency is losing its value, unless they decided they're going to screw everybody in the process. That's what you got to understand. That's the difference. As an unregulated industry in terms of cost goes, the medical profession is rampant. As far as taxes go, same thing with the government. I mean, these things all fall in line. Where does the money go? If they're making that much, whose pocket is it going into? I'll make a suggestion. And that suggestion is simple. They predict a cost in insurance. They predict how long you're going to live according to your age, your general lifestyle, whether you smoke or not, and all this sort of stuff. And then they go to their formulas and charts, and it tells them how much you are to be charged for life insurance, as an example, or health insurance, as an example. So are you going to – is an old man going to benefit from OBGYN? I don't think so. Why is that in the law? Because they can charge for it. That's why it's in the law. And if it's something that is not an expenditure, then it becomes a profit. So if you really want to know who's doing what, find out who owns the insurance companies. Find out who's got the stock. That's, you know, that'll give you who it is that's has told people in the Democratic Party to put that bill together and pass it. Exactly. I want everybody to, you know, catch that one. You got to pass it in order to know what's in it. Good grief. Ain't no way. So, you know, that's okay. Basically the answer to that. Okay.
If Bush's goons are chasing Neil and attempting to murder him, why hasn't there been any police action taken against these people? And if some of them have been caught, what happened to them?
Well, now, I'm not going to say, well, I got a good idea as to what happened to them, and I've heard some rumors. there's some nasty things that can go in the woods. I'll put it that way. At least at that. Now, they only chased him for a short period of time. He's out of there, out of danger. Second part is that the good guys showed up and kicked ass. Just that simple. The bad guys didn't actually stand much of a chance. You can't pull somebody out of an office because they at one time were a well-trained field operative and throw them in the woods, and that's deep woods, and have them be really good at what they're supposed to be doing. Yeah, they know basically how to do it, but they weren't very successful. They didn't pull it off. The interesting part about this is that the good guys have shown their hand to an extent. They're watching a lot of people, and I'm grateful for that. Highest kudos. If I could give medals away, I would. The most interesting part is that the bad guys, and these are the best of the henchmen, didn't get the job done. That's what's neat. So basically what we're looking at long term is that now that Neil's safe, he can go back to work, and he has been working. Okay?
Yes, we're at the top of the second hour, Drake, so we'll have a couple of songs, and we'll be back about 7 or 8 minutes. Bye for now. Hi, and welcome back to the final hour of Drake and Vital Update. The final song was going out to James Godbeer. And we'll start with some more questions. You ready, Drake?
Yeah, give me your best shot.
Can you summarize the main effects of Nasara and how we should embrace it? Are the nasties announcing it over and over so that when it does take hold, we won't believe it?
You still there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Boy. The effects of the Nasara is going to be widespread because of the manner in which it is. The second part of it is that it negates most of the indebtedness. Now, that goes to being a signatory. Signatory is the credit originator, not the bank, not the credit card. The signatory is the credit originator. This means that what has happened is that the convenience of a credit card has been set up in a manner whereby if you have to make payments, you're charged interest. That will no longer be the case. You will have a balance due. Much of the credit card indebtedness can be forgiven, and that goes to what's called a credit slip. And a credit slip is something that banks use commonly. What you do is you go to a gas station and sign a credit slip. That credit slip then would be debited against your, say, bank account, or you can come in and pay cash, or however it would best work. In order to not have to run around to 50 different places, paying them $20, $25, this is the advantage of a credit card. Now, there may be a charge for this convenience, and I personally would be willing to go with a basic charge for the convenience. In other words, if you don't use a credit card, there's no charge for that credit card. If you don't have any balance on it, then it just sits there. But it is readily available credit. Each person's income should determine their basic credit limitations in terms of such a card. The convenience of using it, well, presently, Visa and MasterCard are getting like $5-6 a shot every time you use the card. So if you go get a $6 lunch and pay for it with a credit card, that $6 comes out before the restaurant makes a dime. And people wonder how credit is used as a weapon. Now you're beginning to catch on. Maybe a dollar out of the six. There has to be some kind of equitability. No purchase less than a certain amount, as an example. That would be a structured system. As far as Nasara goes, it'll eliminate mortgages, taxes, and a whole bunch of things that we've been putting up with. This is the true Nasara. It is a reformation of the financial system. As I understand it, it's supposed to be implemented sometime after the point where Neil gets done doing his thing. So look forward to that. And you're going to have a lot of screeching mothers in the government saying, "Where's my paycheck?" I believe that a society can come up with a few bucks per individual, not the exorbitant amounts that we're being charged now, but a few bucks. If you were to, and I'll give you an example, and this has been done a couple of times in our history if you want to look it up, around the Great Depression, taxes were lowered, and the economy went nuts. Problem is that the federal government couldn't keep its skinners out of it, and they got back into it and messed it up again, so we had a double dip. The problem with the last situation was that they just simply told everybody, well, we're spending the bank. We've done sold the ranch, and all the proceeds are going to go bail out the people that have been screwing you. And that's not the way it's supposed to work. NACERA attends to all that. It has been signed into law. It has also been subjugated to not being public. And that's, as I said, there's a lot of things that have to be rectified. There's a lot of things people are going to have to think about. Do you agree with, I don't know, what's our military expenditure, our true military expenditure? If we all put together, and I'm talking about each country putting together a certain amount of both material and funds, what would be the true cost? Specifically, if you took the four powers I was talking about and combined their military into some kind of job corps sort of deal, eliminating wars is going to save everybody a whole load of money. Eliminating the my country's better than yours, or just because you can produce something for 50 cents and it costs me a buck and a half, does that mean that you got a right to bring yours over and sell it for 60 cents? The NACERA will deal with things in terms of equitability. Now, that goes to a Walmart coming into a small town, and I'm going to pick on Walmart because they're guilty of this, and selling things. And what came up on the last video that I had put out was a bicycle shop. the guy was going out of business, and they said, why is that? He goes, Walmart. Well, what'd they do? They're selling the bicycles retail for less than what I can buy them for. So what we're going to have is some forms of what would be called free trade regulation. That means that you can't take a skill saw in one store, and just because somebody can buy truckloads in another, they lower their price below what you can sell it for, and you're stuck with them. It means that there is an equitable amount, basic amount, that takes into consideration the higher cost, where a guy can only buy five, and the lower cost, where somebody could buy truckloads, and evens it out a little bit. It's called a level playing field. If you'll notice, and this is something you do need to note, you go into one of these big box stores and you do not get the customer service you get from somebody you know in your little town, in your small place of business. You don't get that. They personally know, you know, what can I help you with? And I don't mind somebody being busy. It doesn't bother me a bit. I'll stand there for a few minutes until I get to talk to who I want to talk to or the next available person. Doesn't matter to me because I know that they're limited in terms of what they can afford to put out on people. That's your greatest expense. Well, so taking it away from the idea of a corporation being receiver of all the profits, just like the federal government, they want to play that game. And this started over lands and land use, and these people bought this land in good faith, and then the government turns around and says, nah, you can't be here, take your cattle and get. Didn't work too well. So these laws started coming out because and lawsuits because of that inequitability that the federal government played games with people. We've been here over 100 years, and you're going to all of a sudden tell me I got to move? Work that way. And this is part of what NACERA will attend to. NACERA is very big and very complex, but very simple in its performance. And that's one of the things, that's just why I recommend it. Now, there is a link on the website, or is supposed to be, that gives you the basis, the best basis I found for NACERA. So I would suggest you go to the American National Militia website and take a look for it. Okay?
Okay. Drake, Evergreen Air reported to be shutting down operations, reports of paychecks being two or more weeks late. Is there any validity to this CIA cabal operation shutting its doors on November the 29th?
Yeah, I wouldn't have put it on the website and run it through the mill if I hadn't heard that it was valid. I checked it, and the people that I deal with said that not only was it valid, but that it was definitely happening. Now, I've tried to express this before. When the government shut down, we saw different things closed up at the convenience of the federal government. They wanted everybody to scream and holler about it. That's primarily why they shut down what they shut down. This goes to what's called discretionary spending. In other words, they have the discretion as to who gets what at the point of such a shutdown of that nature. It wasn't much of a shutdown. One lady even said that, don't bother, I don't see much of a problem. How about we shut it all down? Well, what I'd like to see is true cost. We don't pay forest rangers much. I can tell you that right now. It's not a lucrative profession for holding a degree in forestry, believe me. The idea of NACERA being able to attend to all these things, the idea of real finance being able to be brought to the forefront and implemented is going to be a monumental task. It's doable, and I am quite sure that there's going to be a lot of people who didn't know that it was that it's going to be as simplistically easy in the end result as it's going to be. It'll be a lot of work to get there, but it's going to come out in the wash. Next.
Drake, when are the military still waiting on Neil to conclude his case? If so, I see those in control dragging out his case forever. When will the military really and truly intervene?
We've made an offer that if they are willing to do the due diligence that we require, we'll fund their paycheck. Now, you're looking at serious cutbacks on the sequestration, and the military isn't quite sure that they can do the job they've been doing with that kind of cutback. Well, if you combine militaries and you're no longer playing cat and mouse with adversaries, but you're all on the same side, that's going to eliminate a lot of the expense, first of all. Secondly, wars are extraordinarily expensive. The Veterans Administration has found that out, and so has DOD. We have a serious problem. We have basically taken several generations of young people and screwed their minds and bodies up to a point where they need a combination of physical and mental health help that is not forthcoming in the manner it should be. I really don't, and honestly, really don't like that. Basically, they don't have much of a choice. They've got a budget to live within, and they can't approve everybody. Well, if they would take a comprehensive attitude towards addressing the military problems, then, and only then, will you see changes in the basis of military operations. Now, you're going to see some of that up front, but, as I said, we're willing to guarantee the paychecks through doing some deals regarding the collateral accounts, to the effect that their paychecks will be covered. Now, that would be at present levels of funding, not an increase, but present levels of funding. There's going to have to be a study of how many veterans are messed up and what the costs are going to be in order to address that situation. In other words, you see ads on TV about Wounded Warriors Project. What is the need for that? The VA, according to contract, is supposed to take care of people that get messed up in a combat zone on the battlefield. If they need care at home, they're supposed to get it. So, you know, I have a lot of questions that go towards this, and they need to be acted upon and addressed. Next.
Surely the military has to be cut back in some way as well, Drake. They can't continue at the level of spending that we have done. You know,
I agree with that, but here's the thing. If there was a true and comprehensive and realistic and tight study. How can we make things work at minimal cost? Then the override, in other words, the excess in that budget that I was talking about, the unnecessary spending, however you want to look at that, that amount would not necessarily need to be cut. Like I said, hold it at the present rate of funding. Why? Because there's a lot of people out there that need services that they have not gotten because they supposedly couldn't afford it. And this is what I'm saying. You're talking somewhere around, and I'm going to estimate 20 to 30% of the DOD budget could be cut right off the top and not really affect the military operations. So if you keep the present funding level, that's going to free up some $300 to $400 million to straighten things out. One of the problems, and this is a serious problem, is to get then also the same kind of tightness in terms of Veterans Administration being able to truly administer what they promised to give people, such as full medical benefits. You got a problem. It was caused by going to Vietnam or Iraq, Afghanistan, whatever. We fix it as best we can. This type of taking care of business, first of all, is going to breed an extraordinary loyalty. Secondly, people that are asked, hey, Sarge, how can we get better at what we're trying to do? You know, can we operate this more efficiently? And if you think you got ideas, write it down and put it in my suggestion box. If you start that from the ground up, each of the ground troops knows the waste of time, the waste of money, and the BS that's going on. Some people are stealing, and those people have to be dealt with. But outside of that, the inefficiencies of the fact where something the military might buy would be extraordinarily expensive, whereas you go on the open market and it's not, well, maybe we need to go on the open market. Then you can address things in a manner that's efficient and doesn't really hurt anybody in the process, other than those people who have been overcharging anyway. And in my opinion, they need to figure out some other way to make a living. But you've got, right now, we've got a sort of a basic minimum of personnel and material, okay? We need to address the inefficiencies. $20 for a screw you can buy at Ace Hardware? No. Even a special, and I'm dealing with nuts and bolts, a special screw that will withstand certain amounts of pressures, et cetera, can be had for a lot less on the open market without the fun and games. This is where you end up with true efficiencies. This is where the 30% can be saved. And as an example, and it's just I just picked on a screw, think about the efficiencies that could be had if the Veterans Administration medical professionals put together an efficiency program for the military like the one they have to operate under. And the reason I'm stating this is I've been around a lot of VA facilities, hospitals and other places, and believe me, I've not seen so few people do so much with so little other than the Marine Corps in the battle. Just to be honest and blatant about it, I'd recommend some of these clinics over some of the major hospitals in the country. I believe that the medical profession in toto should be regulated to the point of the Veterans Administration kind of thing. Now, the disapproval of benefits, you got to prove it, and all this other happy stuff, those things need to be mitigated. There's a lot of things that need to be taken care of. But the military itself, no. I wouldn't say cut them. I would say keep it at least at the same level we have presently. And you got to remember, they just recently put a bill forward, and only after the fact, for military funding for 2014. So we didn't even have a have that budget consideration. So, you know, we got an inefficient government trying to manage inefficient government entities who could probably, on their own, do a lot better job, in my opinion. Okay?
But surely in a new free world, we don't need 160 bases all around the world. That money could go to the veterans.
Well, how about we make those into community centers? Go ahead and staff it with the military. Train people in the area to be able to be at least emergency medical technicians where there is no training and no schooling. There's a lot of different takes on that. Make the main building into a school and start teaching the kids how to read and write and add and subtract the simple things that we take for granted. That these third world, if somebody hadn't been to a third world nation, you got no idea. If you want to get a good picture of it, go out here and find an Indian reservation and check it out. There's people on there that are doing good to keep warm in the winter, let alone food on the table. Yeah. And this right here in America. So I'm going to suggest that we hold things as they are. We address our homeland. I think that should be first. But as an international entity, which the United States military is, it also needs to be tasked with the combination of the humanitarian efforts as well as making sure that certain entities, be they governments, countries, or whatever, don't proliferate if all they want to do is blow everything up and kill everybody because they disagree with the world. I disagree with that philosophy altogether. This is why I take issue with Netanyahu and Israel. They're taking a hard-line stand against anybody that disagrees with them. Well, I disagree with that. If somebody is really serious about taking care of the problems, we start with humanity, and the governments won't have a choice but to follow along, or they will be replaced forcibly by the people themselves if necessary, and this has happened time and again. And I see that as a positive direction to go. If the rulers, the presidents, the ministers, or whatever they might be of a government, understand that their head might be on a chopping block if they don't act right and do the right thing and take care of business, you're going to find that all of a sudden there's efficiencies that nobody ever thought was possible, to include our federal government. We don't need near the federal government we got. Not near. We don't need near the state government we've got. But you have to have a certain amount of agreement among the people first. Once you get to that point and where they agree that, yeah, my neighbor's all right, I've got too many problems, and we talk about it if there is. That takes care of 99% of what law enforcement would need to be doing. There's a couple of other things in this, but, on the whole, that should be the structure. And if we can do this, which we can, all you got to do is just go, okay, be a Muslim. I don't care. I think you dress funny. Well, they look at you and say, well, I've always dressed this way, and you really look funny to me. And there was a song about that, something about signs clogging up the scenery and breaking my mind. Hey, man, can't you see you look funny to me, but I'm just trying to be polite? Well, if you be polite and you don't worry about it, and, somebody wants to wear a skirt, well, okay. I think that's different on a dude, but
like Neil.
I would never go up to an Irishman and start laughing and giggling and pointing at his kilt. There's some things you just don't do, and that's a skirt. So it depends on what the culture is, and so what? I mean, I don't personally care. I'm probably going to keep an eye on somebody that wears some guy that wears a skirt, and if he comes out as being all right, then over a short period of time, I won't worry about it. It's just that simple. A belief system is a belief system. You don't go to war over it. The Crusades were wrong. The Crusade that's going on now, the Jihad, is not any more correct than the Crusades were. But who started what first and when, nobody knows. But these things have been set at odds. You got to kill the guys that don't agree with you. Well, That sounds like politics, and that sounds like governments, and governments start wars. And I'll just leave that question open. Next.
I presume wearing a wig's okay, then, if it's Neil.
I'm trying to get pictures.
Yes, I've asked them.
There's
said
no pictures
going
to be released in case he has to do that again.
Perhaps not. With the rise in Bitcoin and your support behind it, am I safe to assume that it's as it is and will be free from cabal influence and manipulation?
I won't guarantee that, but I'll guarantee you this. It apparently on the surface, and from what I've been able to find out, and the passage of that question, in other words, there was a questionable period there where they were looking at going in and trying to take it all. Only problem was they couldn't figure out exactly how they wanted to go about that, and then they decided, well, let's see what happens. So it's free, open, it's pretty above board. A certain amount of cost gets you a certain amount of it, and you go from there. I don't know where the valuation's gone, but I understand it's climbing rapidly. People are looking for a manner of financial conduction. That's where you have transactions that seems to be of value, and that's one of the ones that I would say appears to be all right. Whether the cabal's behind it, whether it's dangerous, that's still an open question. I think it's dangerous no matter what kind of value you stick into something that's not a a true collateral asset, but that's your decision, and it looks like it's okay to me at this point, and I'd say go for it.
Nice.
Okay?
Drake, what is your take on Obama telling senators to ignore the Israeli lobby in regards to Iran?
I would suggest that's the first time we've had some kind of positive out of Obama since forever. Israel wants us to go in and bomb the crap out of Iran. And so far the military and everybody else has said no. Now, ticking time bombs and all this other happy stuff and the presentations that these people have made, in my opinion, don't hold water. And I'll tell you why. You hear about people getting snatched every once in a while, but that's a rarity. You got people crossing borders. As I said, they're trading beans and goats and whatever simply because they've been doing it for 1,000 years, long before Iran was ever there, long before Israel existed. So what you have is Judaism being opposed to Christianity or opposed to Islam and or Islamic beliefs and the opposition between Christians and Judaism. Supposedly all the Christians are supposed to kill all of the Judaists and Islamists. The Islamists are supposed to kill all of us. I mean, ring around the friggin' rosy. I don't personally give a shit. If somebody believes in a higher order, then that's going to try to cause that person in their own thinking and beliefs, is this what my God would do? Is this how Allah or is this how Jesus Christ would conduct themselves? This is the basic question that resides in the back of a believer's mind. This directs the moralities that you operate by. And it's easy to think that you're too busy to listen to your conscience. And that's God's voice talking to you, by the way. Help the little old lady up the... Sure, that's a good idea. You may not ever know that person's name. You may never see each other again, but you may have raised up that person's beliefs, spirits, to a point where they become something extraordinary. And you find this with people with physical challenges, better known as disabilities, all the time, refusing to allow that disability to be in charge. It's like the alcoholic that has that bottle of liquor, and I ain't ever broke the seal, and I'd sit there and I'd stare at it and squeeze it and cuss it out, and you're not in charge, you son of a bitch. I am. Put it back down. That sort of tenacity and belief within yourself comes from the little hand up. The comprehensive application of somebody that can say, well, I can't heal you. Why not? Well, God says, physician, heal thyself. That's in all the, every religious belief known. Really? Yeah. That means that you got to say no. If it's a problem like an addiction of some sort, alcoholism or drugs or whatever, you got to, you're the one that's got to say no. You can't go through a rehab and the rehab does it for you. It don't work that way. Ain't none of them say cure. None of them. They're not allowed to. The first person that says that an herb or a spice or a system cures goes to jail. So that means that it's got to be a situation between the will to live, where God allows you to suffer all kind of physical torments, injuries, etc., and you live anyway, the luck of the drunk that totals a car at high speed on the highway, and the only thing he's got is scratches on his butt because he got ejected from his Corvette. From the Corvette. I mean, this is all over the place. Saying God bless it when you smack your thumb with it, or your finger with a hammer, and you don't, it doesn't happen anymore. At the end of the day, I'd suggest you say, "Ooh, cool, thank you." Now, I'm not going to say that it wasn't psychological. I'm not going to say that it wasn't a higher power. All I see is, I look at the end results. Couldn't care less about the bathwater. I just want to see the baby. And that's basically what you're trying to do. You're trying to birth something that has always been there. You've known it's there. And yet you also know in the back of your mind, it's like a little a little splinter in your finger that you'd love to get it out of there, but you can't quite get a hold of it. But every time you stick your hand in your pocket, oh, man, you hit it right on the nerve ending. That question is, you know something's wrong. What is it? You can't quite put your finger on it. Well, just like The Matrix. And that was a very good movie. And I'm talking about the first one only. You don't have to worry about the last of them. The first one only. The introduction where Neo goes in and it's the question of something ain't right and I don't know what it is. I can't put my finger on it, but I know that it ain't right and I would love to be able to do something about it. What we're trying to offer here is a way to extract the splinter. Do you really want the absolute answers? I just gave you one. This applies to everything in your life, auto accidents, everything. If you decide that you are immune to the outside influence and you pay attention to what you're doing, the idea that you can appeal to something that most people would speak as being outside themselves when it actually may be inside, to make sure that you don't have adverse problems, watch those problems start vaporizing. You're going to be shocked. You're going to be amazed. Things that you were told cannot ever happen again. You'll never see another driver's license or whatever. And all of a sudden, your new one arrives in the mail. Oh, we're sorry. We made a mistake in terms of this, that, and here's your license. And I've done this with people. It works. You're in a matrix. Now, the difference between what Neo in the movie The Matrix was, he was outside of it. You are basic or principal to the matrix within which we now live. If you absolutely believe and you understand that there can be no exception to what your vision is, what your belief is, what you know can be, should be, is, it will come to pass. You make your own reality. Each individual is exactly where they believe they should be, period. Ooh, that's a nasty, but it's also absolutely true. And once you understand that, then you change the belief slightly, and it alters everything. Just that simple, not complicated at all.
Next. Yes, it does.
Drake, if the cabal is so broke, then why is the stock market still going up and rising and not crashed yet?
Well, they're still sucking in everybody, all the little guys' money. They're not done. If a moneymaker's running, don't mess with it. They get that up there. What do you think happens to the value? Do you think it really just vaporizes and disappears when a stock goes down? or does somebody siphon off something? Now, that's a question that you really want to look into something. That gets really interesting because you'll find that things don't just vaporize like you think they do. And there's some people in for some real big shocks if any of these people do what I suggested to the Senate Finance Committee Investigation Commission. I suggested that they, to a certain senator, that they include a certain little document that I found. And at that point, I didn't know how profound it would be. And it's called Follow the Money. You follow the money, and it's going. You'll have nightmares real quick. Next.
Drake, would it be easier for Neil if he gave the Black Book to the good guys and the military and have them take over command?
No. The agreement he's got with the families and controllers of the collateral accounts are requiring that he keep all three of the books that he's got, Black Book being one of them. That's basically what they would like to get a hold of. It's the only thing that'll save the cabal presently. They exercised that once back in 2008. They siphoned off several trillion dollars suddenly. Now, those transfers were blocked and recalled, but in 5 minutes, 3 to 5 minutes, they siphoned off several trillion dollars. Think about it. Electronic transfer, how fast is it? Punch a few keys, hit enter, bingo. If it had gone more than about 5 minutes, they wouldn't have been able to retrieve that money, and there would have not been a bailout because we wouldn't have had any assets. They were intending to transfer all of it. That's the basis for what a thief does. You have to bear that in mind. Who do you think gets the interest? Who do you think gets the taxes? Where do you think all this stuff goes? Well, if you follow the money, you'll find out that we're not putting money into what we got. People think they're doing themselves a favor by investing in a piece of paper that says they own a portion of a company. Well, what happens if that company declares bankruptcy? You get 3 cents on the dollar, maybe. And that's if you're lucky. And most of the time, they'll just laugh at you and say, you don't own enough shares. I've got 20,000. Yeah, well, there's 3 million outstanding, and you don't count. So you don't get squat. Sorry. And yet you paid $20, $50, $100 a share. Think about it. Think about multiples. There's several multiples in this price of a stock. One is asset multiples. That's usually two or three. Then you have, and I'm talking hard assets, where you own a building or something. Then you've got earnings multiples. Those are most commonly known. Then you've got what they call projected multiples, and they can run as high as any of the others. So you got three multiples in there. And first multiple establishes a base premise. In other words, the company's worth $10 a share. Earnings multiples multiplies that by three, so you're now up to $30 a share. Income multiples, and this is the fun part, income multiples where you have signed contracts can again triple it. Now you're up to what, $90 a share? Well, what are you paying for? You're paying $90 for $10? Now, if somebody wants to make some trades, I guarantee you, I'll go visit the bank, get me a big old fat loan, and I'll trade you $10 for $90 until I can't move my arms anymore. Think about it. How is it that the stock market can go up? Oh boy, it's over 16,000 when there's no business. How many people are unemployed? What is this seasonally adjusted numbers? Well, they're seasonally adjusting out numbers higher than the unemployment on average. 400,000, 500,000, a million people. Give me a break. I guarantee you, you have been fudged in terms of the numbers. Ever play a shell game? Try it sometime. A pea is not underneath any of the shells, but you're going to pick one, and you're going to lose your money. It's pretty simple. Card shark, pool shark, government. Go figure. Next.
Yeah.
Drake, you mentioned that the FBI wants to come clean, and starting with Benghazi. Does that also mean every other agency as well?
Yeah, I would suggest that NSA is going to be first on the radar. The FBI is doing this gratis. They're doing it of their own accord because they want to have their reputation restored. And that is a big step forward, in my opinion. It's a great one. I like it. It takes a lot of courage to do that. Now, these are closed meetings because they don't want everybody to know all of the intricacies. You're getting into details where you got problems in the CIA, NSA, and other areas that they don't that those agencies will kill somebody over putting that information out. So, to keep things on a more peaceful and easy to disclose level, they're having private briefings. They're going to let everybody know exactly what was going on and what they know of it. Now, there's way too many questions about Benghazi for me to stomach them well. I do believe that the offices and officers involved, and there's, I don't know, half a dozen of them, dropped one job and stayed with the other one, who need to go to jail. I believe that the head of the agency that was supposed to take care of business also should go to jail. I believe that these are all complicit, and that was an out sacrifice. It wasn't just a arbitrary deal. Now, one part they're leaving out is how did they know exactly when to attack when we could not quickly reinforce the position? That means that there's a lot of people in other places, other agencies, and other positions who also need to be charged. So it's not just as simple as what it appears on the surface. You got to understand also what was going on. And that's kind of speculative, so I don't mention that much. But there were some things going on that should not have been going on there. And it's going to be a mess. I hope the FBI comes totally clean. I hope that the files they have offer charges for some people. Next.
Right. Could you comment about the government having zero grain reserves when it used to keep 3 years' worth?
Yeah, they go straight to government contracts. We promised to deliver X amount of grain, and when you got problems in terms of drought or too much rain and you can't grow a crop, then you get into the reserves, and the reserves have been spent, from what I understand. So we don't have a reserve. We don't have family farms. One of the basic necessities in life is food, and so the food stamp program's gone nuts simply because they can't these people can't support themselves in terms of growing a garden or, you know, acquiring food or having a job. I mean, you know, all this, it's all one big nasty ball. And I'm hoping that we can rectify things before it goes in the toilet to the extent where people really have serious life-threatening problems more than they do now. Next.
Drake, can you answer a couple of quick questions on ET stuff with a yes and no answer?
I probably can.
Alex Collier stated that and is convinced that December the 3rd, 2013 is the date that third density will cease to exist. Is this correct, yes or no?
I'm going to say no, and I'll tell you why. I'm going to qualify that even further than just a yes or no answer.
That's okay.
Most people who understand variables and predictions understand the probabilities don't always line up the way they should. So giving a definitive date or 2 weeks or whatever don't fit anything, and that's just how it is. So I'm going to say no. Next.
Any comment on Comet Ison? Is it a threat to us?
Last I heard, it was being blown up.
Yep.
So I would say the possibility is, hopefully the chunks won't fall on in my yard or something. I don't think the deer would appreciate it, but I don't think it's going to be as much of a threat as everybody thinks. Last I heard, a solar flare smacked it pretty hard and busted it up pretty good. So as it gets torn apart, I'd say it becomes less and less of a threat. And I don't think it was much of a threat from what I understand of its trajectory anyway. So, yeah. No.
If Neil Keenan is of money, what happens to the plan? Is there another way if the donations aren't adequate?
Yes, and I can't say what that is. So
right.
There's the answer.
Okay. What do you think about the Monsanto VP in charge of all food in the USA, who is putting out regulations threatening all small to mid-sized farms in the U.S.?
Maybe we ought to put him in hard labor cleaning out barn stalls or something. Where does a corporate dink, vice president or whatever the hell he thinks he is, get off trying to do that? How about take your cards and go home before the people come after you? And I guarantee you, and Monsanto, I hope you're listening, the people, and I know a lot of them, I've met quite a few ranchers and farmers in West Virginia, and I tell you right now, you got one full state of people that are going to come after you. Pitchforks, tar and feather, you've heard of that? I would suggest that you fold your tent and get and find a safe place to hide somewhere. Because people are going to come after you. You have gone to great extent to the ruination of honest, hardworking people, and they don't cut it with anybody I know. Especially when you got to work a hard life up here and up in the woods and whatnot. Dealing with bear hunters that shoot cows because they want to draw a bear in, or other idiots running loose in the woods. To have somebody come in and say, you can't collect a seed from our plant. Dude, ain't nobody owns a life. And that's been proven in India over and over again. I would strongly suggest that anybody that takes issue with Monsanto's actions, their position, and what they do here in the United States, get a hold of the rulings. And the court documents are available. Start running them through the courts here. It's high time that Monsanto and a few other the chemical companies, among others, get taken down a notch. They ain't all that.
Yeah.
There's several million people I know of that would take issue with their existence. And you don't want them knocking on the corporate headquarters door being all mad with the shotgun loaded, ready to go to war. You don't want that. I would suggest you cease and desist. The regulations from Monsanto don't hold water because they're not official. And that's something everybody needs to understand. You can take the corporate law and stick it where the sun don't shine. That does not preclude right to ownership, because when you plant a seed and it grows a crop, you lose your right to ownership of that plant. Period. And this goes to property rights. International Property Code is something that the UN likes. It's initiated just about everywhere, and it's going to be something that people are going to go after. Now, I would suggest that the UN try to, the personnel there and the people that are affiliated with it, take this to heart. The people are going to come after you.
Yes.
If you don't want to be a Christmas decoration on the nearest high object, I would suggest that you think about folding your tent and leaving town, quite honestly.
Hey. All right. That's about it, Drake. Time's up again. I hope all the listeners enjoyed the show. Lots of interesting information there. Do you want to say anything quickly, Drake? before we go on to the music?
Sure. Get her done.
Right. Thanks very much, Drake. Right. Okay. That's the end of another week. Just a quick comment about all the new members on Cosmic Voice. 95 in the last 2 days. I think that's some sort of validation. And on that note, thank you and good night, and we'll see you next week. Bye for now.
Well, I'm on my way to heaven. We shall not be moved. On our way to heaven, we shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's standing by.